Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Say I ain't no good, and I'm crazy as a loon. Cause I shave my head in the morning, pick guitar in the afternoon. Just like old Chief and Charlie, I like to lay around in the shade. Well, I ain't got no money, but you better believe I got it made. Cause I ain't asking nobody for nothing. I can't get it on my own. If you don't like the way I'm living, just leave this bald-headed country boy alone.
So before we get started today, I just want to tell y'all, listeners, I heard you. You said it at the ads too long at the beginning of the show, so we're going to space them out. You're only going to hear some now, then you hear some in the middle, so don't be bothered when you hear me pop up in the middle of your show today. Starting off for us is one of my friends. She started their own moonshine company. Let me tell you, I got a new favorite moonshine. Not only do I absolutely adore Sarah Blake, Blake now has a badass moonshine, and it's called Blake's Moonshine, and I am obsessed with it. They have this caramel apple delight, and if you are from the South or anywhere and just like moonshine, but like real moonshine, like real good moonshine, y'all remember what that apple moonshine used to taste like? This right here is so damn close that it is ridiculous. You would have think there's some backwoods folks from down in South Georgia making this. It's so damn good, and you can try it right now. All you got to do is go to onlysarahblake.com, onlysarahblake.com, and you can order you some right now. And trust me, y'all know how much I like drinking and having a damn good time. I wouldn't be putting some alcohol on here that I didn't actually drink. So I got a bottle sitting on my desk right now. Thank you to Sarah and Matt for sending it to me. And thank y'all for being part of the Josh Terry Podcast. Y'all please go check them out now, onlysarahblake.com, and get you some of this Blake moonshine now. I want to give a special thank you to Project K9 Hero. Them and Cashman's Pub just came on to be a sponsor for us for an entire year. So, if you guys love puppy dogs, if you guys love supporting our military and law enforcement, you guys need to go check out Project K9 Hero. Go make a donation. Go do whatever. Buy some gear to show your support. Thank you to Jason Johnson and also to my guy Ron at Cashman's Pub. Ron is opening up a couple other spots. He's already got the library in Macon, Georgia. And let me tell you, when we go out to Macon, that is where we pregame. We pregame at Cashman's. We have a good time. They got good food. They always got good music. And Ron is letting me bring some artists down there to play. So y'all do me a favor. If you're in Macon, Georgia, and you're looking for a spot to eat, go check out Cashman's Pub. If you're looking for a spot to get drunk and hang out with your friends, Cashman's Pub is the place to go. Special thank you to Mr. Blake over at Gerald Electric Company. Right here in Cochran, Georgia, they can handle all your commercial and industrial electrical construction and maintenance needs. This old fella came on middle of the month, so this ad ain't completely finished, but what's cool about it, they're right here out of Cochran, Georgia. It's a family-owned business, and they're going to be coming here in the next couple days and actually doing an episode and telling you guys more about them and their company. So, y'all, please do me a favor and go check them out on all social media platforms and give them a call for any of your commercial and industrial electrical needs today. That's Gerald Electric Company. As for Blake, his phone number is 478 279-3308 and tell them you heard it right here on the Josh Terry Podcast. A good buddy to the show decided to sponsor this month, DPF Alternatives at 314 Garrison Road in Macon, Georgia. You can find this good old boy on Facebook at DPF Alternatives Macon, Georgia. They service diesel vehicles, semis, pickup, tractors, heavy equipment, anything that uses diesel. They clean all emission systems and diesels, and they give you a one-year warranty. They also sell aftermarket filters, offer 24-hour service. Look, my dad recently, this is how we got hooked up with these guys. My dad recently had to take his truck somewhere to get it serviced, and the guys over at DPF hooked us up, and we come to find out that he listened to the show because his sister had been on the show a lot. So pretty much like family now. So if your diesel needs its emission system cleaned or serviced, I'm telling you, go check out my guys over at DPF in Macon, Georgia. You can call them now at 478-973-8502.
Tell them you heard their ad on the Josh Terry Podcast and get $50 off. DPF Alternatives Macon, Georgia.
Shout out to my boys over at Deep South Chemical. A couple weeks ago, they heard the ad on the podcast, and they sent me over some of the stuff that they sell. Some chemicals that you wash your vehicles with, some degreasers, some tire shine, some waxes, all that good stuff. And let me tell you, folks, their stuff isn't like the shit you get at Walmart. This isn't like the shit you get from O'Reilly's. They gave me this stuff for my tires and rims. And all I had to do was spray it on and wipe it off. I didn't have to scrub. I didn't have to break my damn back. Their stuff literally was so good, I just had to wipe it off. I know I would have used these guys again, even if they wouldn't have sponsored the show. So it tickled me when they decided to do it this month. So I need you guys to please go look up Deep South Chemical. Call them today. They'll ship the stuff to you. Their phone number is 404-909-4257. That's Deep South Chemical. Tell Mr. Scott that Josh Terry sent you. Let me tell y'all about Blue Collar Alliance. Y'all need y'all to go look it up on Facebook right now. It is a great group on Facebook, and it's way more than that. My buddy, Bubba Marlboro, is helping out blue collar workers left and right. He also has a roofing company. Just go look it up if you don't mind. Blue Collar Alliance. Thank y'all for tuning in to the Josh Terry Podcast. We are in Nashville at Airbnb recording our first show of the week. Tomorrow we got 3 at Live Oak, so if you guys can come out tomorrow between 2 and 6, we've got some really good artists performing and Dustin Heron. It's going to be a really good time. But with us today is Mr. Scott and Miss Rebecca. If you've heard Miles on the show before, this is his parents. And I wanted to do an episode with them just to kind of talk about what it's like raising Miles, the opportunities they're seeing with him, and just pretty much how cool it is and the positive, I guess, effect that y'all have had on him. And besides for just them being here, I also got Cam and Chili Dog sitting at the table having some beers.
Whoa.
With us.
All right now.
Dustin Heron is in the corner, but at least he's out the closet. yeah, you want to keep going? You like that?
Yo, the pizza's here.
The piece and the piece here. We're not fucking stopping. You eat it while we're doing it. But anyway, well, thank y'all for coming. I pull your mics a little bit closer to both of y'all, by the way. Yeah, you can move them. It ain't going to make no noise or anything. You got to kind of get up on them. But anyway, so first off, introduce yourselves and kind of tell us how Miles has got started on social media and everything. Because I know you're the one handling all this stuff.
Yeah, I do most of it. I'm Scott. And but man, he pretty much had an Instagram that he started, and we came out to the Live Oak show, the first one we went to.
Yeah.
Because he had a TikTok that actually got...
It was him in school, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it was at a talent
show. Playing Way More Blues, right?
Way More Blues,
yeah. I remember that.
And, man, he... Priscilla Block walked up to me after he performed and was like, how you gotta get that kid on social media? And I didn't know who she was anyway. I mean, so... So that started the Instagram, is what's really, really set.
Well, it's
off.
A big deal if Priscilla notices you. I know, like, Dustin and her kind of came up together and everything, and I've got to be around her a little bit, not as much as him, but if she's paying attention to you, you're doing something right.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, he does real good. He does real good. But you want
to... What's it? Y'all talk as much as Miles does. he always tickles me. I always try to get him to talk a little bit more. And I think I'm going to do the same thing with y'all.
Yeah.
You just sit. Just pretend like the mic's not there. Just have some fun and talk about you youngin' and how much he loves music and y'all's influence on him. It'll be fun.
Yeah.
Which one of y'all kind of got started in it?
Well, so Miles, I'll just say, like, from an infant, he's been sick, like, his whole life.
I didn't know that.
And, yeah, he has several diseases in his background and several things that's happened. And music's always been his channel. Like, it's always been how he deals with it. And we never really pushed it on him. Like, he legit just on his own. He, you know, like, it started, honestly, I was folding a load of laundry, and I had him sitting on the bed. He was probably 6 or 7 months old, and he had a coat hanger. He was playing guitar. It was his guitar.
Let's go.
And then he was just making his own sounds, his own beats, music.
What's some of the battles, like, with the diseases and stuff he's had to deal with so far? Because what, was he 12?
He's 11.
11?
Yeah, so he was probably 4 months old, and he had an anaphylactic, he was breastfed up till then, and he had an anaphylactic shock to formula the first time I gave it to him. So he actually stopped breathing when brought him back, yeah. And so from then on, he just, everything we fed him, he had an allergy to. So we were like, something's going on. This kid can't eat any food. And we found out he has an esophagus disease, which basically he's allergic to foods, but they come and go.
Yeah.
So, like, he can eat them 1 week, and the next week he can't.
Oh,
still has that, but it's completely manageable now. So he's good. He had a blood issue where his bone marrow had kind of shut down. They were, like, screening him for leukemia. Like, he kept having to get transfusions and just in and out of the hospital. And then his the nerves in his eyes, like, he's had eye surgeries. He lost his finger, which was...
How did he lose his finger? I heard you say that earlier.
Yeah, yeah. Which finger was it? Because I was pretty interested as a guitar player.
His index finger.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Tony Iommi. You know that name? No? Lead
I have
guitarist
idea.
For Black Sabbath was also missing the tip of his index finger. That's why they had to play distortion so hard.
It was Easter. We were with a whole, you know, all the family. And he was on my grandma's electric wheelchair riding it. And he went up the wooden ramp, and his finger got caught in between the wooden ramp and the... And
that is, I just want you to know, I know that sucks. That sounds horrible, but it is not even close to what I thought it was going to be.
That's it.
My
God.
I thought it was going to be something that was just insane.
I thought you were going to say, yeah, we had him out in the woods chopping, chopping lumber.
Yeah.
Old hatchet come down and took his finger off.
Working out there.
Just trying to ride a wheelchair.
That literally happened to my cousin in middle school. He was in the Boy Scouts, and he went to go cut a log. And when he went to cut a log, it went through the wood, and it went right into his foot. Mm. And, like, half of his foot was messed up for the longest time.
Wow.
So wheelchair, I was not expecting that one.
Speaking of that, we were demolishing a house that my dad had bought property on, and I used a sledgehammer to knock a board loose. My dad was right there. I don't know if he's the dumbass or me, but I stuck the, like, 20-penny nail down inside of his boot, like, through his boot, straight through his foot. And I don't know if I've taken a beating that bad after that one, but yeah, it was a rough call.
What have y'all done, really, with him? I know you don't really push him. I mean, you kind of talked about it. You just kind of let him develop on his own and everything. But one of y'all had to be, like, a big influence in the house when it comes to music. I know that's why I love music and certain artists the way I do is because my mom and dad.
Same.
So one of y'all had to be pushing the good shit on him.
Man, I've done construction my whole life, you know, run H&G Construction there in Madisonville. And, man, I raised him. I raised him and my daughter we didn't have babysitters, really. So, man, they stayed with me. She worked Walmart, so I had to take them. And so that's what we listened to, you know, in the truck. And, man, that's what he fell in love with it, I guess. But
when did he actually pick up a guitar and start playing?
He was like a year old.
Peter Frampton.
Oh,
he heard Peter Frampton.
Live?
No.
Oh.
No, on YouTube.
Yeah, well, I mean, not like legitimately live, because yes, that would have been weird. But I meant like the Peter Frampton Live album comes live. That's a good one.
Yeah, Frampton Comes Alive. Yeah. And then he heard that song.
Do You Feel Like We Do?
There we go.
Do you feel like
that hit? That one hit me too. Okay, good. I like that.
I don't even know that song.
Yes.
He used to take a straw and hook it to the top of his microphone.
Yes.
And he would make like this guitar sound.
I had a garden hose run up through an old lamp and a old softball bat with a karate belt strapped around it. I was Peter Frampton in my bedroom.
I wish I'd have done something. I just played sports and played in the mud.
I did those too.
So again, those are what kids do. We have distractions, right?
Yes. Yeah.
So we all are saying, you know, his different ailments and stuff. He was already having these issues from birth, basically.
Pretty much, yeah.
So when you talk about influences and stuff like that, it's making more and more sense that he's really doing this.
It's just who he
himself.
Is.
Oh, he's so doing it. He's searching for his own way. You know, I know that if I ever have problems in my life, whatever they may be, music's always been my comfort, my go-to thing.
Safe haven.
Yeah.
And so when Josh is asking, like, which one of y'all pushed it or whatever, you know what I mean? And you're able to say, we didn't. Mm-mm. That even more explains it to me that's where he's found comfort in it. And you can tell when he plays, and especially the style of music he plays, the songs he chooses to play. True. I'm like, this kid, he gets it.
Yeah. You know? Well, it's him. As I was trying to explain this to somebody the other day, it's like when I hear a song and it's relatable to me, like it's because it's me. It's some part of my life I connect with that song. And with Miles, it doesn't matter what video or whatever. I've never seen him play anything he didn't want to play. It doesn't seem like he looks like he only wants to do what he wants to do, and y'all haven't asked him to do anything else.
Oh, yeah, he won't play anything he doesn't.
No, that's fine. Just hit the shit. Sure. Have y'all had anybody approach y'all about him doing anything different? Because I know, like, y'all have met, Kenny Chesney now. He invited y'all back. Some other cool folks have, too. Has anybody, told y'all, hey, let's get him to do this instead of this?
Not directly that wanted to have him do something different. But they America's Got Talent recently contacted him. And, you know, they go through his Instagram, they're like, man, this video is not good enough. I need a video where you can see him more, you can hear him more. And I don't edit his videos. Like, I just
in between you and Chili.
I walk up and take the video, and that's talking. It.
Yeah, well, that's the tricky thing with social media, too. Like, it's listening for keywords, listening for volumes, listening for all this kind of stuff, and that we can't help. And then it gets put in their algorithm and stuff. But when you just do, the pure shit like y'all are doing, I mean, I don't see why you would want to push him anyway. I know that me and you kind of talked about the America's Got Talent thing. I'm not a big fan of those shows. Even though I got buddies, like everybody else does that's done them. I think it could destroy a kid or somebody with a weak mind like me if I got on there and they told me I wasn't good enough at a young age. Like, I know, I don't think it would do me well. I think I might even quit. I've seen a lot of kids quit sports because they didn't make a team. I can imagine being on America's Got Talent if they say, hey, you're not good enough, to where it just will fucking hurt
you. Well, his age and what it's all happening, I would say, relatively kind of fast.
It's fast. Yeah.
And he's enjoying what he does. I'm sure he enjoys being able to meet new people and getting to meet his heroes and go to shows and stuff like that. But at the end of the day, he's still a kid. He just wants to play music and play what he wants to do. Mm-hmm. Now, after he does it enough times, and you ask him, like, what do you really want? I feel like Miles will shoot you straight, be like, yeah, I want to go on TV. Well, you understand, if you go on TV now, there's people been doing it 20 years, and some of them ain't even going to get picked. He'll probably be like, I want to be on TV. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I want to be like, ain't nobody played a Waylon song yet. I'm going to do it. You know, like, so I'm with you on that, Josh. Like, it's even somebody like me who's been doing it for 10 years, there's an agenda when you go on these shows. Yeah. You need a backline. You need this story. They want to make it out like this because they want to capture these audiences.
It ain't dark enough. It's not suspenseful. Yeah. There's no storyline.
We're going through that right now. Yeah. We wrote the little storyline on the way down here. Mm-hmm. I purposely haven't given it to him yet because I thought we'd talk about it on the show.
Yeah.
And it would hit here first. And but I got all of it. It seems like a lot.
Yeah.
And I looked at her on the way here. I was like, man, we lived this. Like, it's crazy to talk about.
But. And ain't it crazy how it's so easy when it's the truth?
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
It's not hard for y'all to write it. It's just like, oh, we need to write down what we've been through.
It's still hard in hindsight. Once you put it on paper, you go, God almighty.
The issue with me with that, especially when you lived it, is I don't know if I want other people profiting off my pain. It's one thing if I profit off my pain, but it's a whole nother thing if somebody else does. If they take my story or Miles' story or whatever, and they make it so bad that they're just going it for sympathy, I guess, instead of like, oh, I beat this, I overcome this. And they just want to play the sympathy card, not the survivor card, not the victor card.
We don't want that either.
That's what I keep saying. I don't want him to be in this kid that's on TV and they're like, look what, you know, he went through and paint this big thing. Like, I just want I mean, if he wants to someday, that should be something he can write a song about.
Yeah.
What he went through.
I hate that every time they put someone up there that the inspiration has to come from some deep place. Yeah. Rather than just joy, because like my daughter, she's going to be awesome. I don't know what she's going to be, but whatever she's going to be, she's going to be awesome. I have no idea what her story's going to be when she gets there. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like, I have no idea if it's going to be a dark story or a good story, or like my dad just played records for me. You know, like I don't understand how people have to paint some crazy elaborate picture just to make you interested.
Dustin knows this better than anybody at the table. You could be the most talented person and not have a backstory or image or whatever, and they don't want to fuck with you. You got to be the whole package, the total package.
You see how even when he's giving me a compliment, he's actually taking a shot at me?
No. Dustin knows it. No, I'm not. No. I give Dustin the most shit.
You're good for how shitty you are.
I give Dustin the most shit, but he's one of my favorite people to listen to. Yeah. Well, you can't help that shit. But he's one of my friends that actually, when I'm driving down the road and one of his songs come on, I will listen to. Especially, he's got an acoustic album that I fucking love that somebody shared the other day, too, that I will listen to. But, like, when you hear people like Dustin or Brianne Young or somebody like that, you're like, how come these folks aren't bigger? How come they're not what they're supposed to be or whatever? And it's some people don't play on some of those cards. Some people want to get by on their talent. Because that should speak volumes. That should be enough. But that's not what a lot of folks want to make it out to be. They want you to have to pull at them heartstrings even before he plays a chord on stage. And I don't know if I like that or not. But also, I'm poor. If you told me that I was going to be rich tomorrow, if you played on all my traumas, I'd be like, fuck it, I already lived it. Let's let it pay some bills now.
Yeah, if he could, man, our, you know, as parents, we would love to see our kids live comfortably, but I'm always a stickler for like foundations. So when it comes from inspirations, I know that a lot of my shit that I grew up loving and I love more today as an adult, it came from my parents. So like, what was the stuff that you guys were listening to in the car where he was like, whoa, like grabbed his attention? Do you have any of those?
Like, it really was just his own. Like, he
really?
Just, yeah.
So he got to pick all the radio stations in the car? Because I know that's how my dad let him.
It's a fight.
Really? Yeah,
it's a fight.
Like what?
Because he just wants to play. Miles, man, he loves bluegrass.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, and he's a picker for his
age.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
I mean, bluegrass is his thing, man. And
talk to him about bluegrass.
And none of us really love it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
I'm learning to love it.
It's true.
Yeah.
Bluegrass pay the bills.
So you grew up down there, right? So tell the rest of us what it's kind of like.
Well, they live in Madisonville, right up the road from where I'm from. But my next door neighbor was Josh Williams, Ron Vincent's guitar player, and he's won IBMA Guitar Player of the Year for like 5 years in a row. But he was my next door neighbor, and I grew up playing bluegrass every night. We'd play, you know, we'd play Waylon and David Allen Coe and all that stuff. But bluegrass is definitely, that's what paid my bills.
Like, did you like live off Ricky Skaggs kind of stuff?
Yeah.
Or like the,
well,
the,
not,
the,
not
deep
even
stuff.
Like Tony Rice was my hero. He still is my hero. God bless him.
I don't even know if I ever heard of Tony Rice.
Tony Rice.
You have. You just didn't know.
I'll show you later.
But Tony Rice is one of the most influential guitar players in bluegrass ever.
Fast, smooth.
Yeah.
So smooth.
Even if he'd miss a note, he'd cover it up so quick. Like, he'd just make that part of the song.
Didn't even have to bend into it. It went from a minor straight back to it.
Yeah.
And it was, yeah.
And Miles true. Knows all the same. Stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
He does.
I can see when there is.
I can tell.
He comes in, he just,
it's instinctual.
Out of the videos I've seen of him, he's going to be a picker. He's already a picker, but.
When did you start playing?
I started when I was like 5. So,
well, what would you compare yourself to Miles right now about that age?
Well, I'd say like he's doing exactly what I did.
Yeah,
that same shit. When I saw his videos, I was like, "All right, I like this kid doing way more blues. I'm a Waylon freak."
Yeah, that guy.
That's what I
so.
Yeah,
the first time I saw him, he did way more blues.
And did it at his? Did you see where he did it at his middle school?
Yeah.
That let me. To be a kid and have the balls to get up there at a middle school, knowing that there's going to be kids be like,
was
what
it
the
elementary
fuck
school?
I only dreamed about that with my softball bat and karate belt. That's the only shit
I'm still dreaming about that shit now, and I own a guitar.
My
shaming the Foo Fighters. I couldn't do that.
I grew up a professional square dancer, even being a big kid.
Stop.
I was a clogger.
Round dancer.
Yeah, exactly.
Nice.
Yeah, not a square. But anyway, bluegrass that's where I grew up in. That's all we played around home. I was a banjo player, mandolin, fiddle.
Was anybody playing that around y'all's house, or were y'all playing that?
I would, if I had to say someone had influenced him, he's always gone to church.
Mm-hmm.
And our pastor of our church, he's a picker.
Okay.
And Miles would literally go up. Like, he would just stand in front of the stage and just watch.
Be in awe.
I was in my 20s the first time I heard an actual, like, the first time I played in a church band, and it was, like, we plugged in. And anytime outside of that, it was all acoustic stuff, all piano, and like, deep, hard playing, because the difference between acoustic and electric is astronomical when it comes to the feel in a church, right? And the fact that he comes up in something like that means it's deep rooted.
Does he want to play gospel music?
He loves it.
He does sometimes.
He loves it.
You know how cool
he plays at church. Actually.
That'd be such a cool story if he just ended up being like the best gospel player of all time. That's all he wanted.
Is that in your storyline? Is that in the part?
We haven't finished it.
Come on now.
Yet, but you know, but actually, while we were here, I got a call. I haven't even talked to her about it yet. I guess I'll put it out there.
Oh,
a guy named Tom.
Great time to have first conversation with your wife.
Hey,
throw it on us before you talk to your wife. Oh shit!
This is how you don't get shit thrown at you right here in a room full of people.
And he's waiting to get a definite yes. Well, he's trying to hook Miles up with I forgot the gentleman's name now. Pat Reed or Matt Reed, and it's apparently he's like gospel division of Capitol Records.
Okay,
but I mean I don't know. I haven't even read the text messages yet. He called me and said he'd send the information over.
That's a strong core. We gotta stick together.
I mean,
It's really.
In all honesty, today, what other environment would you rather your kid grow up in music?
I wouldn't.
I mean.
Well, from where we're from, that's where
yeah.
We
but
did
if
it.
You think about
that's
like,
how I found music.
If you think about like when you watch movies, you see these kid actors that just lose their shit by the time they're 20 years old or whatever.
Yeah,
and they've lost everything.
Yeah.
They grow up in environments that are just not very healthy. If you're gonna grow up in music and get paid for it as a kid, why wouldn't it be gospel? I mean, there's a lot worse you could be around.
I mean, God bless, like, who doesn't know Vince Gill, right?
Oh,
I mean,
man.
Damn. I mean,
Martin Collin.
He not only did he tear it up bluegrass, right? But he was so deep rooted in the church that's exactly what drove him. So, Jesus. That's a
fucking does he ever like express to y'all what he wants to do, or does he just like, I just want to be a kid right now?
He never really has been a kid. Like, he wasn't that, like, he didn't care about toys. Like, he
well, he's not, to be honest with you, he looks like a 70-year-old man.
Yeah,
he is.
Anyway, he's the coolest
one.
Yeah. Even
like,
when like he's been around us at Live Oak or whatever, my daughter, asshole. Like, she really is. But if she came to Live Oak or whatever, Gracie'd be like, oh, somebody's going to notice me. Like, I'm going to do something to where you guys know that I am the star of the show. Miles is the star of the show. And Miles like, I don't give a shit.
Tries not to be.
Yeah, he's like, it's over in the corner.
Downplays it.
That's how I am. Cool. Yeah. Y'all see me live.
You are lying. You want everyone, and if you don't, look. You do a
it depends
hell of
on
a
how
job
many drinks he has.
It.
Right.
If I'm drunk, I love to show off.
Exactly.
Obviously.
But when I get up there and I'm not drunk, I hadn't had one drink, I literally, people ask me all the time, they're like, why aren't you just a front man? I was like, because I don't want to be a front man.
Yeah.
I want to just do me, play the guitar behind the front man.
Do y'all know his cool ass story about him going viral? He goes viral on Broadway with him. I guess you were drunk, I guess.
Whereas I was.
Oh, well, just played on stage, but he took a beer bottle and used it as a slide. But, I mean, he's playing. I mean, he's fucking slicing and dicing up there. And anyway, the video goes viral before he even gets off stage. Yeah. Then he gets in his truck after the show. Didn't you fall asleep, like, right there?
I had three shows that day, and my buddy was an off-duty officer. And he got shit-faced to Tootsie. So I only had two beers that whole day. That's all I drank that day. And I went to get the truck, bring it down, load my gear. I said, hey, I'm going to be in the truck. I'm right out here waiting on you. I had my flashes on. Well, I'm sitting there waiting on him and never came out, and I doze off. 5 minutes later, there's a knock on the window. And they charged me for a DUI.
While his video is going viral, while everybody's like going, he ended up in Whiskey Rift. He ended up on a lot of shit, but while he's going viral, he's literally in the drunk tank.
For not even being drunk. I blew up.
Some outlaw shit.
I didn't know I went viral until I got out of jail the next morning when they handed me my phone back in the bag. Got my phone out, and turned my phone on, and there's like 50,000 messages and shares. Teddy Swims shared it. Ernest shared it. Rowdy Rob. I mean...
Awesome.
Everybody has shared that video, and there's been four others that have went viral since that video that I didn't even post. I hadn't posted none of those.
Hey, who all has shared Miles' stuff? Because like, I know we're getting y'all been. There's been several people that I've seen on y'all social media that just seems so cool.
Tyler Booth, he shares it quite a bit.
Love
but,
Tyler.
Grace Potter. Is the one that
love her so much.
She's the one that really put him out there to Kenny Chesney and Grace Bowers and
They had the tequila song together, didn't they?
Yeah.
Grace Bowers messaged me yesterday. Oh my God, she's amazing.
Yeah, she's pretty tough.
Yeah.
But man, there's a bunch of them. I mean, it's a bunch of them.
When I asked him at Live Oak the other day about meeting Kenny, to him it was just like I went to Walmart and you know. Just hung out. He was monotone about it. I'd have been shitting my pants if Kenny Chesney wanted to meet me, even now.
Well, Kenny, I don't think he realized how big Kenny was.
Yeah.
I mean, he like.
How cool is that your kid likes bluegrass and gospel
like
and way more blues and Waylon Otter? It's like, who's Kenny Chesney?
you know who one of his favorite artists is? A guy named Leroy Troy.
Yes.
I've never heard of him.
That's like his man. He's became like a grandfather figure for music to him.
Yeah.
We met him at Luke Bell's memorial service.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
They had it at Circle P Ranch. And they played all night together, and we had no idea who he was.
Yeah.
And
he's such a cool dude. I remember watching him on Marty Stewart's show on RFD TV. Leroy, he does all the Uncle Dave making stuff with the banjo. Like, he'll spin it under his leg while he's playing, just claw hammer all the way.
That's fucking cool.
He's tough.
That's cool.
He's a great guy, man.
What are y'all leaning towards as far as, I don't even know how to put this. I know y'all ain't pulling him out of school or anything like that. Probably that's not an option. But like if he comes to you like 16 years old and say, I want to pursue music full time. Like, are y'all going to be the type that's like, let's do this or let's finish the education?
If the right opportunity would come along, I would take him out now. She ain't having like she's just not gonna happen. Because man,
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials.
To participate, simply fill up an Orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
How often can you live your dream?
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Like, I mean, how often? I mean,
a few of us are in the middle of that right now. Yeah.
That's what happened for me. My mom died when I was 16 or 17. And 2 days after she died, my dad's sitting in his rocking chair, and he's just thinking about stuff. And I walked up and I was like, I don't know what we're going to do. He's like, well, I know what you're going to do. You're going to get your ass out of school, and you're going to take $200 of mine and move to Nashville. And I lived out of my truck for 2 years in the Music City Bar and Grill parking lot. And I've been here ever since. And I've played with multiple artists. I've just been, that's my life.
Yeah, I'm 50-50 with it, too. But there's so much shit that I learned in school that I forgot now. I just feel like it was a waste of time. It's done nothing for me
as far as this,
but at the same time, like, maybe I'm not the person.
I'm pretty good at geography.
Maybe I wouldn't be the person that I am today if I wouldn't have.
I'm pretty solid in algebra, but I can't do the things that are important.
I think the social skills are the biggest part of school anyway. Like, I think learning how to socialize, interact, the ups and downs of it, the learning at a young age that there's deadlines on shit and respect and all this kind of stuff. I think there's that, but
just grow up real fast. I mean, there's success stories of those people, like, not to drop them, but like Trisha Yearwood and Eric Church, those people that their parents said, listen, you're going to go to school and you're going to finish this and you're going to you're going to get this bachelor's degree. That way I can support you if you have something to fall back on, right? If this doesn't work. And it's good for parents to have safety nets, but kids are dreamers. You know what I mean? Yeah. If you want to just turn it loose at a young age, it's good to have the support. Yeah. I mean, like Chili Dog, goddamn, if somebody would have been there with him this whole time, you never know what the outcome could have been, good or bad.
It could have been Dustin Herring.
It could have been very different.
Finished college.
Yeah.
Dustin's got a whole ass. Boy, I thought you was hitting me. Thank you. He's got a whole ass. What do you have? A master's in like farming, agriculture.
Thank you.
Goddamn overalls he's got on. It makes sense. It's fucking fancy.
Would you go back and would you go to college and finish out at Auburn? Or would you have just said, I want to just go straight on with music and not even try to go to college?
See, mine's different. Had I not went to college, I wouldn't have done music.
You wouldn't have found it.
Because I didn't play it's music a path, until I went to college.
I didn't know that.
I didn't even know that was a thing. I didn't have a guitar or anything until I was 21 years old.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. That's where we had internet for the first time. Like fast internet.
I didn't.
You know what I mean? You get to college.
Down in LA, Lower Alabama.
When I got to Auburn, man, you finally get these touring bands and you find out about all these different bands I'd never even heard of.
Grinding.
And then you meet, I was lucky because, Adam Hood was from Opelika. So that was basically Auburn. So you got Adam Hood, you got Chris Posey, all these people. Jamie Johnson would come through. Yeah. That was all new to me, and I didn't know that was such thing. And then that gets you into the Texas stuff and the Oklahoma stuff. And then by then, now I've gotten the itch. Well, yeah, I'm getting through with my degree, but now I got the itch. And like I said, I didn't even start playing. I didn't even get my first guitar until my 21st birthday. That was a birthday present.
It makes sense.
What age was your first show then?
Say that again.
What age was your first show then?
Probably 22. I probably finally got the guts to plug in and play somewhere. As a matter of fact, I had some buddies that were, just kind of playing, for tips and stuff like that, make some side money. We had a great bar called the Strut and Duck. They had open mic night on Mondays following one of my friends playing. And he played some other show one time, and I got up and played Seminole Wind. And I just remember him looking at me like, last year you didn't even know how to do this because I was asking him how to play and stuff, but caught that bug. I watched that movie Crazy Heart, and I was like, I was in grad school at the time. I watched Crazy Heart, and I was like, I want to do that. And, Crazy Heart pretty much full circles everything. You start off, you want to learn. It goes into all the goods and the bads and the heartbreak and the...
Hey, folks, here's a quick commercial break, but we'll be right back to the show in about 3 minutes. One of the artists that I would really like for y'all to take a look at is my guy, Mark Ware. Mark was in here a couple weeks ago. He tells his story. you guys need to go listen to that episode. Also, go follow all of his social media. Mark Ware Music on everything. Dude is solid. He's a good friend of the show. Go look him up now. Mark Ware Music. Let me tell you about my girl, Miss Erica, with Crooked W Consulting. She has a small marketing and design agency out of North Carolina. She offers small, affordable business solutions that tailor your business and startups nationwide. She's currently doing my new website. I'm telling you, folks, you need to let her do yours. She's doing us a jam-up job. She also offers digital marketing, graphic design, and social media management. If I'm using her here at the studio, there ain't no reason why your small business shouldn't. Look her up on Facebook and Instagram at Crooked W Consulting, or text her now at 919-351-2084. Crooked W Consulting. Hit up Miss Erica now. You won't be disappointed. Let's give a quick shout out to Nobles Networking. Guys, if you're looking for a new internet provider, they hook me up here at the studio and at my house. If you live out in the country and you can't find nowhere else where to get your internet, or you're paying too much for Hargrave or any of that other shit, look up Nobles Networking. 478-308-0596. You are going to love it. I'm telling you, it works great for me. It runs everything here at the studio in my house perfectly. Hit up Nobles Networking. Let me tell you about Lori's Dive in Alamo, Georgia. I ran her ad several times now. She's been with me since I started doing this stuff. Even if it's not convenient for you, take some time, go out of your way, and go eat there. I promise you, you won't be disappointed. She takes pride in her staff, her food, her service, every single aspect. So, please go check out Lori's Dive in Alamo, Georgia at 8 Commerce Street. And the phone number is 912-568-1645. Lori's Dive In. If you've seen me wearing hats lately that's got DYH on it, it stands for Down Yonder Hat Co. Seth Bazemore, a buddy of mine, he owns that company, and he has sent me some of their hats. Let me tell you, I love them. I've worn them in a lot of my stuff lately, and I plan on wearing them a lot more. I've showed them to some of my friends. He has a startup business, and I'm telling you guys, you would absolutely love them. So do me a favor. Go right now to his Instagram at Down Yonder Hat Co. Check them out. They also have a website, downyonderhatco.com. Order some stuff from them and tag them on Instagram. And when you do, make sure when you make the post, you say that you heard about the hats and Down Yonder right here on the Josh Terry Podcast. Now, let's get to the show.
Everything.
That's one with Jeff Bridges, isn't it?
Right.
Yeah, what was the one that had like River Phoenix in it, where he was in Nashville and just like grinding it out? Y'all remember that one? I don't know. We need River a Google. We need a Google
who the
guy.
Hell is River Phoenix.
River Phoenix died Phoenix. At a young age.
River Phoenix. That was like one of his last movies they did. That's Joaquin Phoenix's older brother. He died outside of Studio 54.
You know, Kenny Chesney. Deal. He didn't start playing until he was in college.
Yeah. Luke Combs. Damn. Yeah, it's the same kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I didn't really find it too. And I was at Georgia. I mean, first time I really heard like Corey Smith live. I don't know if y'all know who Corey Smith is, but
he's one of my favorites.
Right, that's the first time I really heard him, and I was like, oh shit, you can be a science teacher, like a high school science teacher, and literally come here at night and just play.
The movie's called The Thing Called Love.
Thing Called Love.
Yeah.
I've never heard of it. I've never seen it.
Oh man, that's a good one. Okay, that's a deep cut. You'll like that one.
So I guess I was lucky growing up because all my neighbors played music, like the bass player, like my buddies. My dad's buddy that he went to school with actually played bass with Hank Jr., played with Waylon, Dave Allen Co., played with all those guys. And he lived like three doors down right next to me. And
also
Josh
a good
Williams.
Band. Yeah. Go ahead.
Anyway, they'd have jam sessions at like their shops around the town.
Yeah.
And my parents would take me to every one of them. And most of these jams were like 80-year-old players, like fiddle players, dobro players. We had a guy named JT Bell. He was a dobro player. and he built his own Dobros, like, just in his house. He was never married. He was like 80, 84, but I actually still own one of his Dobros.
That's cool.
That he Jesus. Built.
What was the lead guitarist for Queen? Brian May. Brian May. I mean, that's probably
him
the
and
most,
his dad.
That's probably the most educated band in music history. Because every one of them had like a master's or doctorates in like astrophysicist and shit.
Yeah.
But Brian May literally built his own guitar because he could not figure out the correct tone that he wanted to play. And now it's just
him
iconic.
And his dad did it, man.
Yeah, it's incredible.
Education
jam, versus.
Speaking of jam sessions, how does he? Who's the young boy that goes everywhere with him? Is that y'all son too?
No, that's our daughter's boyfriend.
Okay, who does he play with? Other like, does he play with anybody else around there? Or is it just those two?
Just them two. No, he just picked up a guitar probably 2 years ago, mm-hmm. and he was always playing mine, and I was like. So me and her just jumped in the car and went to Guitar Center and bought him one night. And was like, and man, he picked it up pretty quick. So
I can't understand it at all. I bought one last.
It's harder to pick it up. It's hard to pick it up at an older age.
Yeah, I can't. My daughter, she's already not decent or whatever. She gets it, understands it way better than I do.
I bought my dad the Keith Urban package because he wanted to start playing, and he was like, mm-mm. He watched like one DVD, and he's like, I'm out. I'm going to go ride horses.
Why not the Randy Jackson? You got the Keith Urban one?
Hey, it was on sale, I think.
The fuck are you two talking about?
I love my dad.
We're talking about
bit.
The TV specials where they had the package, the beginner.
You're talking
guitar.
About the Nah Dog teaches you how to.
No, it's like a whole DVD set where you run through like how to like chord progressions and how to put your fingers and stuff.
Yeah,
and my dad made it through, and he was just like, "I can't fucking do this here. You can have all this." And I was like, "I know it. I don't."
Did he learn by watching YouTube, or did somebody teach him?
Man, he started by watching, I guess, that preacher at church, and man, he watches YouTube. But you know, he's got that finger now. But man,
is it on his plane?
It's his index finger. And
his index finger. Because I'm always watching him. When I see his finger, I was wondering. So that makes more sense now.
So does he not use it?
No, he can't.
He literally uses this
three.
In the ring.
But you know.
So tell them what you're showing me. He doesn't use an index finger.
Yeah, so he'll use his middle finger and ring finger.
Yeah, so he doesn't need it. It's tough to bar to reach all the way across. I mean, he's already has his hands aren't quite all the way big enough to reach across the neck, but already now his finger's. You know, a third of the size.
I was wondering why he's always just using that one finger doing all the.
That's crazy.
Yeah, that's cool.
But you know, he was 3 days out of surgery, and we caught him. He had his little cast on, and we heard the guitar playing, and we walked in there, and he's what? He's only 7 years old at the time, 8 years old maybe.
Seven.
And so that's only been a few years ago.
Wow.
So I mean, he was in there playing.
Jeez Louise, dude.
That boy. He's gonna do big things.
I don't want to like fast forward, obviously, but I would love to see know what he's gonna be in 10 years.
Me too, man.
I mean, I just think it's cool because I could go hit a ball, throw a ball, whatever, like, but I couldn't play an instrument. So to me, this is just insane that somebody is 35 years old and can't understand it for shit, but you got a kid that is that good and he's 11. Like it's just kind of like, what's the word? It's prodigy, prodigy. He just feels like I feel like I'm watching a little prodigy when
I
look
at
his
stuff.
I wish
he was here.
Yeah,
because I'd love to
just watch him do it.
Just
really cool.
Yeah. Oh, dude, it's cool seeing him in person do it. I mean, watching the videos is cool, but those quiet moments at a writer's round when you actually have like a packed house or whatever, a lot of people there. And when people shut the hell up and actually listen are my favorite moments.
Yeah.
But it's like when the artist shuts them up, though. Mm-hmm. Like, by whatever they're playing, how good they're doing or whatever. And Miles has done the show with us twice now at Live Oak. Both times, you can damn near hear a pin drop while he's playing. And then you get somebody else out there, and everybody goes right back to talking. He's just... It's so cool to see him in his element and actually
attention
do
without trying to.
That first time... Last time was good, too, because he had the dude with him. But the first time when he's just by himself on the end of that stage, that dude commanded the room even at that age.
Oh, yeah.
And speaking of his buddy that he plays with, who is his buddy?
Caden Dame is his
buddy. What else he do?
Man, he just...
What's he, like 16?
Yeah, he's 17 now.
17?
Yeah. he's a little hustler, man. He's out trying to start businesses, mow yards, and
hey.
I mean, he's a worker in school. He's in high school.
I'm gonna start doing that shit soon.
Oh man,
I'm gonna have to go back cutting grass for too long. Going back, I ain't never cut no fucking grass. I'm gonna have to start.
He was just at our house all the time because him and our daughter. And so I guess to have something in common with Miles, like that's what he started doing, was just, you know, picking.
Good vibes. I bet he spends more time with Miles now than he does your daughter, doesn't he?
He does.
You can see they vibe. I would have thought that was his brother. The way that they vibe as good as they do. I thought it was too.
And man, they act like brothers. They're pretty close.
Yeah, you can tell. It's cool. It's cool to watch them. I like hearing them do the Mountain Dew one.
Yeah, you know Leroy is the one that taught him that song.
Yeah, and that's cool.
Yeah, that's my favorite song they do. She hates it.
You don't like the Mountain Dew song?
It never stops.
Well, that's seems like any time I just like glance or whatever. Seems like he's doing another video or whatever of that, or on a live doing it or
it's
whatever.
Their favorite.
So, y'all being from Madisonville, do y'all know who Carol Payton Band is?
Carol Payton.
I think they still do. They play. They do Friday and Saturday night. It's a big jam band where they get all their buddies. It's basically a jam session, but they play at the old Carhartt factory in Seabury, up there. And I'd go up there and play with them all the time.
You need to take Miles next time you go.
Yeah, for
that'd
sure.
be cool.
I mean, y'all definitely need to go supervise. I would not.
Come on now.
Don't drop him off.
Chili
dog. 100% kids on Whiskey Riff the next day, but maybe not for the reason.
Two star babysitter.
I thought every time he sings, because he sings like he's got a chaw on his lip.
I thought he did.
I thought he did too.
I thought I was like, okay,
I was like, this is going to be my new little buddy.
I did. Like,
well, around where I'm from, dipping at a young age ain't even weird.
No,
like, it's that's normal shit. You just have one on you.
I was like, this kid's badass.
But I can't get over how badass he is, to be honest with you.
You know, he picks all of his clothes. That's every day. That's what he wears every day.
Yeah.
I mean,
I give Kimberly Atwood a lot of credit because I just think she's just like a full-blown ass artist, which Dustin, Chili, and everybody is too. But, like, she just is always her. Like, every time you see her, she's bell-bottoms.
Yep.
Just on.
Sweater shirt, messy hair, glasses. That's always her. It does not matter when you see her. Miles reminds me of the same thing. He's a little artist. He already knows who he is.
Yes.
And I, even, like, talking to him a little bit, I don't think there's any veer in that kid. I think he's going to do what he wants to do. And if
Did
he
you
gets
say
to the
beer?
Point. Veer.
Veer.
See, that's why you're not watching the fucking kid by yourself.
Damn.
Busted.
Right there, Chili.
Can't have shit.
Oh, well, we ain't got no milk, but we got some Jaeger. It'll go down smooth.
We ain't got no chocolate milk, but we damn sure got some Jack Daniels.
Does he have any minor interests outside of music?
Yeah, I was actually curious.
What does he do?
So he does have some friends from school that he'll play the game with. Occasionally, but
which game? Like the game? What's the game?
Is it Fortnite? Maybe.
Okay.
Oh, hell.
So does he have the headset and he does talking with them and stuff while he's playing?
He doesn't love it, but I mean, they are his buddies, so that's how he. But you know,
well, that's good. You gotta have that outlet.
At a time, and then
just something that you're not doing the thing that you're destined to do all the time. You want to just turn it loose.
This is what I thought Miles would be like. I thought that he wouldn't like other kids if they didn't do music. I thought you gotta have that though. No, you don't. Like,
yeah, you do.
He already seems like he knows what makes him happy. That's
but
the thing.
Yeah, but kids, man, all kids want to like they
you
seek
don't remember
the approval.
Growing up because you played baseball with me.
They seek the approval of their friends.
You don't remember if a kid didn't play baseball, you're like, dude, not that you disliked them. You're like, I don't need to be around them.
Well, I was weird though because I rodeoed and shit, so I had an interest outside of the things that people associated me with. So that's why I like asking the question, because it's like when you love music, there's got to be a thing outside of that, right?
I didn't think he would have a thing.
Yeah.
So
but in a good way. I thought he was so invested in what he was doing and loved
like
it so much.
Roller skating or fucking
He's
gardening.
Like, I don't have time for this other shit.
I tried skateboarding and then I broke the board.
That makes sense.
So many of his friends are always interested in like the guitar, and they're like, hey, Miles, can you show me? He doesn't have the patience for that. He's like, I'm like, Miles, they want to play guitar. He's like, Mom, they don't know how. Like, he doesn't have the patience to sit and teach them. Like, he just,
I mean, it's true.
If, like, they don't know, he doesn't want
to
do that.
It's just pure. Can you imagine?
Do they ask him to play?
Can you imagine Michael Jordan trying to teach you how to throw a free throw?
Do they genuinely enjoy watching him?
It wouldn't work.
The kids at his school are always like, I mean, even several times during the classroom, just regular day, they would say, can you bring your guitar in and play? And, you know, the teacher would let him just play in front of the class.
That makes me so happy.
I got in so much trouble because I bring my guitar every day. Like, there was not a time the guitar was not next to me. And
until you was not doing your work anyway.
I wasn't.
I know if I wasn't doing mine, you wasn't doing yours.
The only work I was doing was in a history class. I love history.
I love history, too.
That's cool. But it's funny because I could
tell.
That is
a commonality in this profession, I guess.
I didn't care about all the other history stuff. But when it comes to, like, country music history, I told the teacher everything he wanted to know.
That's true.
About music history.
I like that.
What's funny, Gracie's like out with her music class because all the stuff she listens to with me or whatever. And, like, I half the time don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. Like, so I'll tell her something thinking I've heard it one time and it being true. And then she'll go to history class or her music class and they'll be like, this did not happen.
Music appreciation and theory.
Not at all.
Right? School of Rock.
So the coolest thing to me was back when CMT actually did country music, there was a music historian. I can't think of his name, it's escaping me. Gray-headed guy, gray little goatee or whatever. He always told you, like, the dirt. Now, this is what they said happened, but this is what really happened.
Yeah.
Well, now with social media and all this stuff, and you learn all this. And I thought I knew a lot about country music. I knew a lot about songs. I will say that. Before I ever played music, I was, like, the go-to. I should have been a radio DJ probably because I made burnt CDs after burnt CDs. My truck was the one that was – probably not my truck was playing it because I didn't have the greatest sound system, but my CDs were the ones getting played at the bonfire parties and all that. Yeah. Long story short, when you get to town, you go sit at these bars, you know, and those 3 o'clock afternoon conversations on Music Row, that's where you hear, you know, Dolly did this. Or, you know, everybody says George did that, but that ain't, and I'm just sitting there just soaking it all up because I don't know shit from Shinola, but I just want to, you know. And then here you go somewhere else, and you have to hear somebody tell you, I heard this story about George Jones, and they get the story so wrong.
Yeah.
They're close, but you just sit there, and you're like, you know, I'm not going
to. That's part of the legend, though.
Yeah, they continue to just build it.
You got it. Some of them you embellish, but hell, you want to. Like, George didn't drink 45 beers before he went on stage. He drank 100.
Quit downplaying.
Meanwhile, Chili Dog was there.
Yeah.
Right there in it. Tell you right now.
He can call George Jones right now and he'll pick up.
Yeah. He'll climb out of the damn grave for damn sure.
Yeah.
Anyway. Oh.
Are you going to tell something or you said anyway? Like,
yeah, I was trying to think. Forgot.
Y'all well, don't do that. You're liable to hurt yourself.
I'm hurting now.
History of country music.
Oh. I was going to tell y'all. Like, when I first came to town, my parents, what the hell am I, I'm acting like I'm on stage right now. When I first came to town, my parents brought me, and it was like, I want to say about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, we walk into Music City Bar and Grill, and there's an old classic country band playing, and me and Dad walk into the bathroom, we walk back out, and I had a Waylon t-shirt on, and this guy sitting at the bar goes, son, I like your shirt, and I was like, well, thanks. And the bartender's like, you know who that is? And I was like, no. It was Waylon Steel Player, Robbie Turner. And we sat there and talked for 4 hours, me, my mom, and him.
How old were you?
And Dad. I was, what, 7?
God damn.
Fabuloso and
Dad. And cigarettes.
Oh, yeah.
That's all it was.
Have y'all took him around with his guitar on his back or anything, like around Broadway or some of those bars or anything?
Not really. We was in that's how he met Rufus Page, which took him to Circle P Ranch, which took him to meet Leroy Troy. Was he had his guitar with him in a boot store in a boot barn at the mall, and then he was like, "Hey, can you play that thing?" And he just pulled it out and played. You know, obviously played Waylon, and that opened the door for him here around here. And then, man, I'm not sure how we even got on.
I saw the video for him on the talent show. I remember being tagged in it a lot of times. I think that was the first video I posted. It like blew up. And the people who listened to the show, they knew how much I liked that kind of stuff. They tagged the shit out of it. It's like, you got to get this kid on the show. And y'all were nice enough that when I messaged you, you got right back with me.
Yeah, I think it was simultaneously almost.
What kind of guitar was he lugging around?
Taylor GS Mini.
Yeah, okay. The travel guitar. Just, yeah. Little guy.
They're damn good guitars. That's a good guitar. I'd rather have one of those than a full-size Taylor. I hate Taylors, but I love those GS Minis.
Yeah, they sound good.
What's going to be like, I guess it's kind of a hard question, but do y'all, if he decides tomorrow to put down music and just be a normal-ass kid, even though you know he's got this gift. Because I've seen kids like in sports before.
Yeah.
They just get burnt out.
Burn up, yeah.
Yeah, and they just don't want to do it no more. Do y'all feel like as long as he's happy, you're good? Or are y'all going to be like, I think we're missing a big opportunity here?
Yeah, it's not about us for this. It's yeah. him. If he decides, like we took the whole month of June and pretty much didn't do anything. We was like, we're not planning anything in June so he could – Now he's played every day.
Be a kid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's his summer break. Now July is a little busy. But, man, if he decides to, it's whatever he wants to do. You know, it's his life. He's got to live it.
I'm glad that y'all are like that. I really am. Because, like I said, I've seen just in sports parents overdo it. Kid doesn't ever want to play again. And they're just wasting the talent that you know is there.
Or when they just pick one lane. I mean, I've seen over and over again baseball parents that they just wanted to push, nothing but baseball. But I've seen the greatest players that I've played with or coached, they were well-rounded. They played multiple sports.
They were just athletic.
They did more. They were in debate club. They did chess club. They did all kind of stuff. You know, it's nice to have to have somebody that pushes you in different directions to try to – which is down the avenue you want to go, right? If music is your thing – You know, develop this avenue, which makes you even better down the road and something else.
He's going to get to the point, too, where he's going to say, okay, now I'm going to go to
right
an electric, or yeah. I might want to try some turn, steel.
Turn
and
the fuck loose.
And that'll yeah. give him a break on that. And then yeah. he might. Then he's going
– Different interest.
Then he's going to start songwriting. Then he's going to start
– He's already wrote something, hasn't he? Isn't yeah, that what he was telling
man,
me?
If you open up the notes in his phone, he has song after song after song.
Man, you got a little prodigy.
They're not
I'm
all
telling
good.
You.
They're not all finished, just little parts of them.
But you know, he contacted you over at one song. He had me write you, and he hadn't finished that.
The lyrics that came over, I was thoroughly impressed because they were serious content.
Yeah, yeah, he tries.
Hold on, just – well, you knew we were going to take a break at some point in time. So anyway, you were saying about the lyrics that they had sent to you?
Oh, I was thoroughly impressed. You could tell that he had wrote them because the organization of them. But I was like, these are topics that a youngin, how he knows this or wants to talk about it. And I think it corresponded back, you know, with you. Like, okay, yeah, I'm down to write or whatever. I don't want to ever push anything. I don't want to ever force anything. But if I can help guide or whatever, I'm all about it. But I think that the best thing for him to do is just write as much as possible and don't worry about trying to be perfect. And that's going to be hard for him. It's hard for everybody when you start off because you're not – first of all, you used to not get recorded right off the bat. Nobody videoed you. Nobody gave you your notoriety. You just played what you played. A couple people heard it. If it was a turd, it was a turd. You got to, you know, take your batting practice and stuff.
Develop.
And he's trying to put it right there on the record, right off the bat. And
yeah, so. There's people hearing him putting something out right away to where I've never thought about it, how you just put it. But somebody putting it out right away, it didn't go through any channels first.
It's true.
It didn't go through anybody
no
filtering
filters,
it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not to where if it was a turd. And everybody's going to fucking do a turd every once in a while. It just happens. Everything I mean, Dustin I Heron's
that's
never...
not even what I meant. What I meant was imagine you're trying – you have the – you know right now Miles has the potential to be a Major League Baseball player.
Yeah.
He's trying to put together a Major League performance right now.
Yeah.
And he has the ability. It's there. The desire's there. Skills are there, all that. He just needs to play for 17 years.
to get there.
So, you know what I mean? So, like, what you're saying is that he's not even throwing out turds. He literally has the fucking the gas to go, and he hadn't even had the time to just show it to people. Fuck, man.
I'd love for him to come and jam on one of my day shows downtown.
Sweet.
Come up.
That'd be cool.
Super sweet.
Bring him down. Before y'all leave, I'll get your number, and y'all bring him down. I'll get him up, and we'll just shred. We'll play.
To end this, because I'm sure y'all give him encouragement all the time, but I'm sure Miles is going to listen to this. Y'all give him like a little bit of encouragement coming from y'all, because I know that with all of us, we can't wait to see him again. And I know what meant the world to me when I was a kid is when mom and dad did something and it got back to me. So y'all drop him some little bit of encouragement real fast. Be sweet and shit. Put you on the spot.
Send him a message that he'll listen to 10 years from now.
Yeah, exactly.
And he'll listen to it.
Yeah. Something that where he can go back when he's having them shitty days like we all have and be like, okay, this is going to.
Why did you
start
doing it?
Yeah, why did I start right here?
Well, I'll just say, Miles, even though I'm constantly saying, turn it down.
Heard that one.
Take a break. Yeah. I really am excited and can't wait to see what you're going to do next or what song you're going to show me next. I really do love it.
That was...
You got through that way easier than I would have. I'd been crying like a bitch by now. Oh, man.
That's how effortless it is. That's how, like, over the top this shit is. It's so incredible. To know that this kid's doing what he's doing and has all the support in the background, that's beautiful, man. I really love it.
Well, man, I love Miles. I mean, he if it never left our living room, like that's been my favorite moments ever with them kids playing. My daughter we haven't even talked about her, but she is a phenomenal singer,
man.
And so is Rebecca.
What are y'all drinking down there? What do you got going on? We got to figure it out. Yeah. No. Water? Got it.
It's life.
No fluoride.
It's in the Kentucky.
I tell you.
It might be.
Spring water.
But, man, I'm proud of Miles. I don't care if he ever picks up another guitar. You know, it's all about what makes him happy. So I love you, man.
That's cool. So,
beautiful.
All right, well, I appreciate y'all coming to hang out and everything. And drop Miles' social media real fast. So just in case somebody's listening to this and they haven't seen Miles' stuff yet, they know where to go to.
It's Miles Gee Music on Instagram, and TikTok has kind of jumped back up. It's Miles Gee Official. You'll find him. I mean,
type in 11-year-old badass playing country music on anything, and he's probably going to pop up.
Googles.
That's all he has right now. He don't have anything else, I don't think.
And we'll be sure to share it, too.
All right, thank you.
Well, thank y'all for coming to hang out, and thank you boys for participating and being part of this, too.
Thank you for letting me get
you
drunk.
Yeah,
you're not going to say thank you, Dustin, for the opportunity?
The microphone was not available, but I appreciate the opportunity very much.
You're all welcome
for being here.
All right, folks. Well, thank y'all for listening to the Josh Terry Podcast. Join us today at Live Oak, or whatever day this comes out. I guess it'll be in the morning. Join us June the 21st at Live Oak from 2 to 6 for the Josh Terry Podcast and the Raising Grace Riders Rounds.
Worst comes to worst, I'll be driving Miles' bus one day.
Hell no!
I'll just handle his social media. Cam, you're not going to be hired. But Chili Dog,
merch guy,
Chili Dog's going to be whoever dresses him.
Yep.
I'm just going to be the drunk on the bus.
We'll see y'all later.